Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. I know we're having some problems, I think, with the sound on 870. They're trying to fix it. But we had some low signal or low sound in the first hour, so we got our guys trying to take care of it. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. And want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, it'll be pregame between as we preview the New Orleans Pelicans playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, who got a pretty damn good team. And then 7 o'clock tip-off, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Glenn and Kenner. Glenn, in a huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Hey, Mike, you got me on?
I got you, babe.
Okay, great. Good evening to you. Listen, I was hoping that Bobby would be there because I wanted to get his opinion on this also.
Okay.
Perhaps maybe tomorrow, you know, when he comes back on the show, you could have him comment on it.
Okay, I'll sure.
What I want to know, this is what I don't understand. The Saints drafted three linebackers within the last couple of years. Zach Bond, he's starting for Philadelphia. They're 7-2. Keenan Ellis is starting with Atlanta. They're in first place. And Alex Anzalone is with the Lions. I don't know if he's starting or not.
Yes, he is.
What I don't understand is that, you know, and I'm trying to be constructive when I say this as far as with Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen, but these are three defensive players the Saints drafted, and they're starting for winning teams. Okay, you know, we wasted draft picks on them. Did we get anything for these guys? You know, and I mean,
no.
I mean, you know, you're talking about talent evaluation and everything. What's up with that?
Okay, let me answer them one at a time. With Anzalone, Alex, and he sort of had this history from high school to college and into the NFL. He couldn't stay healthy, and he was hurt here quite a bit with the Saints. Legit injuries, legit stuff. And I think they felt, you know, this is kind of a long trend with Alex. And they weren't going to re-sign him. And, you know, the connection there, certainly Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn, they took a shot with Alex Anzalone. You would figure. He goes to Detroit, and he's been healthy the entire time. That's a little bit of bad luck on your part. But, man, Anzalone, I know the reason they didn't try to re-sign him was not about talent. It was about could he stay healthy. The thing with Zach Bond is the most puzzling of the three because they didn't find the right spot for him. When you watch Zach Bond at Wisconsin, he was a pass rush guy. They tried to make him into a middle linebacker. He had never played there before. And then somebody, you know, they got people trying to horse hockey you, telling you stories about how great he is in coverage. He got better in the coverage part of the game, but he is a guy that wants to play and drive. And you watch him this year. And that was one of the things with Vic Fangio. He brought up, man, he's been well coached with the Saints. And I want him. I found the spot for him here. Mike Hodges does a good job with the linebackers, really does. And so I never understood the fit of why you didn't let Zach play that natural position he was playing at Wisconsin. And they did a lot with him coming off the edge. And his ability to run the field. He wasn't great in coverage. He's gotten better, but he was never great there. With Zach Bond, it's almost, with Caden Ellis, almost the exact same thing. Okay, he got hurt. he had a he was basically kind of redshirt year. Then all of a sudden he hits it big when they figure out they didn't have a pass rush late. They put Caden on the edge. He did that all the time in college. That was his gig. But he wanted to try free agency. That was his deal. And the Saints used a lot of two linebacking core. And so with DeMario and they picked Pete Werner, I think Caden was, man, you know, let me find a team that I can start right away. And his connection there was Ryan Nielsen. And he has said it. I went there. Money was certainly a part of it. But also, too, he knew the defensive coordinator was Ryan Nielsen. So all three different. And you're right. They picked everyone. I think Zach Bond, to me, is the biggest mystery of why it didn't work. Caden Ellis, we saw him his final season with the Saints, what he could really do. And that was as a pass rusher. And I thought he had gotten to be a pretty good guy in the coverage part of the game. But he had some injuries early. Anzalone, I thought was a good player, could not stay healthy. And then he goes to Detroit, and he's been healthy since he signed up there. It's amazing. I think the biggest free agent from a law standpoint on defense was not keeping Trey Hendrickson.
I was going to say Trey Hendrickson. But it was the same thing, injuries.
And Trey, once he got to a certain weight and it was right for him, well, you saw he could come off the edge, and he was pedal to the metal. Was he as gifted physically as Marcus Davenport? No. There ain't a lot of guys walking this earth that had that type of ability.
He is right now.
But Marcus, he was always, he had a nick and a scrape. You know, he wanted to play, and he was healthy. He's a man out there on the field. But you didn't see that. The one thing you saw with Trey every week, he brought it to you. He came off that edge. He could run the field. He was relentless. And he signs with Cincinnati. Okay, you can't name me too many players on defense for the Bengals, but you can name Trey Hendrickson. He comes to play, and he's a menace out there. I think if there was a redo, Trey Hendrickson would be the redo.
Are you kidding me? He's leading the league in sacks right now. Anybody who is blind would say that's a redo. I'd give up everything.
And okay,
for how sackless this team has been.
But again, this is a little bit of politics. Look what you gave up to get in round one to pick Marcus Davenport.
Yeah.
You gave up a lot of capital, and so you're going to defend him. Did he have talent? Yes. And he wasn't like Anzalone. Once Alex left and he went to Detroit, Alex has been healthy. Marcus Davenport, he's been with two teams. He's been hurt on both of them. So, now he's collecting $10, $12 million a year. God bless him for that. But, man, the Trey Hendrickson loss is major.
No, that one stinks.
That one, because you had a guy that would have given you that consistent pass rush, and to think you could have had him and Carl Grandison as the tag team at defensive end. And so, again, it didn't work out, but you're absolutely right. I did think Mike Hodges did a good job with all three of them to develop them, especially with Zach and Caden. I'm not sure Mike was involved that much with Anzalone, but I know he had a lot to do with Zach Bond, Caden Ellis, and Vic Fangio this offseason. He made it known. When we went out looking for linebackers, Zach Bond was the guy I wanted. Now, the other guy he whiffed, that was Devin White. And, you know, it didn't work there. Devin was too much of a freelance guy. Now he's with the Houston Texans. See if D'Amico Ryans and get it to work out there. Great call, Glenn. And I'll also ask Bobby about it when he gets back. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us from BetMGM tonight, Brad Evans, right after this break on the Big 870.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jennifer.
Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Andrew Lopez is reporting this, and again, we'll have the Pelicans and Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7, but Andrew is reporting that Willie Green says that Zion Williamson, Jose Alvarado, and Jordan Hawkins will all warm up before a call is made on if they play.
Okay, so nothing confirmed.
Nothing, but Zion and Hawkins went through full shoot-around this morning.
Okay.
And then Jose tweaked his ankle in the shoot-around.
Okay, well, that's a bad okay.
So, buzzed look, man. It just is bad.
Yeah.
Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And on the line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hola, amigos. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you, Brad. Right off the bat, LSU, Alabama, under the lights in Tiger Stadium. What you call?
Man, it's going to be a barn burner, isn't it, boys? Yep. You know, Alabama has been far from invincible, to say the least, this season. And they're a team that's won three of the last four meetings in this series, stretching back to 2020. You look at LSU, I think they're going to, you know, score the cover in this game, quite honestly, and win this game straight up as well. You know, you look at the Tigers, number 8 EPA per play offense, number 23 in defense. Then Alabama, pair of fives nationally in both of those categories. Look at a lot of the data and the sites that are out there, have the Crimson Tide as a slight favorite. But I think LSU, a team that has ample motivation of bailing the outside looking in, the initial college football playoff ranking, they get a win here. They bounce off the bubble and in the projected field. So mammoth implications in this game. And I think go Tigers will certainly apply. So I'll take LSU plus a 2.5, and I'll sprinkle action on the money line straight up.
Whoa, go Tigers. All right, Thursday night football, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens. Man, Cincinnati's got defensive issues all across the board except for one spot, Trey Hendrickson. And man, now you got to go up against King Henry and Lamar Jackson. Good luck. Your thoughts?
Godspeed, I will say that. Look, last time these two teams faced, it was 41-38 in overtime. The Baltimore game had a victory there on the road. So another game, a lot of shootout appeal, guys. I tell you what, if you're a fantasy football enthusiast, if you like betting overs on certain player props, this game is for you, because I think there's going to be points aplenty from start to finish. The one area where, you know, you could really do some damage offensively, Baltimore outstanding in that front seven. I think Chase Brown, a guy that had a breakout game last week on his 30-plus touches, found the end zone a couple of times, over 100 yards on the ground alone. He'll probably kept a bay in this one, but Jamar Chase had nearly 200 receiving yards in the first matchup. He gets any piece of Brandon Stevens in this game, he's going to go well north at the century mark yet again. Yep. Joe Burrow, I think he's good for 300 or more passing yards. Get that at significant plus money right now. Probably 2 to 3 touchdowns to the air as well. Won't get quite 5 air strikes like he had in that first matchup, but this game is going to be breathtaking. It's going to be extraordinary offensive football from beginning to end. And I think the Ravens will emerge victorious in a hotly contested affair, but it could be, again, first to 40 wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. Georgia, Ole Miss.
Well, Georgia Ole Miss, another game with a lot of implications there. Another game with a barn burner feel to it as well. And Ole Miss on the outside looking in, the initial college football playoff ranking like LSU, they need another marquee victory. And what a ripe opportunity to secure exactly that. And look at UGA. laying the 2.5. They are, I kind of like Ole Miss at home, catching the 2.5. A team that, again, has been outstanding EPA data. Number 4 in the country, EPA per play offense. Number 6 in EPA per play defense. A little bit better than Georgia in both those categories. Georgia number 10 in offense, 9 in defense. I think it's, you know, it's going to be nip and tuck. It's going to come down the final possession, but I think Ole Miss is going to win this sucker, maybe on a last-second drive with a hand there, or Jackson Dart, maybe finding somebody in the end zone, maybe getting in field goal range. But I like Ole Miss taking this sucker by 3 points. I'll take them straight up on the money line like I did with LSU.
I never thought I'd say this 9 games into the season. An undefeated Indiana Hoosiers basketball team, maybe, but an Indiana football team going up against I can't call them national champs, but they were national champs last year, the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, look, man, Michigan's an absolute punchline right now. The quarterback play has been a monumental struggle, and, you know, Tuttle is no longer even on the team. He retired from football. That really kind of says it all of what the state is offensively for that school. And, you know, defensively, still rather stout up front. On the back end, though, they are a burnable and beatable team. And it got Rourke, quarterback for Indiana, guy can really twirl the pigskin accurately, consistently down the field, really can pick you apart. And Indiana is quite underrated defensively. They're a better defensive team, and according to the EPA data, than Wolverines are. Indiana, number 19 EPA per play defense, number 2 in EPA per play offense. Michigan, a woeful 51 in EPA per play offense, 36 in EPA per play defense. I know 14.5 is a boatload of points, and it might frighten some people away, especially with Captain Hook. Yar, shiver me timbers, a part of that equation. But I think Indiana is going to win by 3 or more scores and silence everybody with an opportunity in a couple of weeks, taking on the Ohio State in Columbus, and we're going to see their real, true colors in that showdown in Columbus.
Brad, I never forget, this was 2020, and LSU was defending national champs. So I talked to Coach Orgeron. He's like, Mike, hey, they treated us like we were the same team, but I didn't have the same players. Man, he said, you know, they took the boots to us anytime they could do it. And it goes to show you, man, when you lose so much to the NFL draft and to graduation, man, you're not the same team. You know, you're not that team that won the national championship. You're not even close. And boy, what a drop off at quarterback. Good gracious.
Yeah, man, it's been a misadventure, to say the least, for Michigan, whether it's Orgy or Tuttle or somebody else. They just do not have a competent quarterback that can bring it all to the table. And the problem was, you know, we're victims of their own success. You know, Harbaugh jumped to the NFL. They played the national title game, of course, won the whole shebang. So they're already late in the recruiting game with the transfer portal and NIL and all that at work. So they're already behind the eight ball. And even with the brand name superpower that they are at the University of Michigan, they weren't able to acquire a suitable and sustainable passer to set them up for success this year. So, you know, I'm not crying tear in my beer. I mean, anybody would probably sacrifice the following season to be subpar if you won a national title the year before. Michigan's going to be A-OK, but they're getting their comeuppance, if you will, this year.
All right, Brad, I'm not going to lie. I looked like an idiot last week, but I'm not alone in this. I don't think I was alone. Last Thursday, a very spooky Halloween, the Jets being 2.5-pointer. The Jets being favorites at all, regardless of those 2.5 points. And then somehow they come out and win. Now, I'm looking at the Sunday night game. It's Lions-Texans. I know it's in Houston. Should I trust the Texans again? Was that a trap game? I'm leaning Lions. And, you know, it's what, 3.5 right now? And I just don't believe in the team.
Look, I believe in Lions more than anything else. I'm kind of with you.
I believe that.
You know, Captain Oak. Yeah, look, I picked Baltimore and Detroit to represent in New Orleans, your guys' wonderful city, for the Super Bowl this year, preseason. And so far, that's looking pretty good. And I think Baltimore is going to be able to get over the hump of Kansas City and Lamar's lack of success in those matchups historically. But, man, the Lions are bar none the best team in professional tackle football right now. And it's amazing to say, without Aiden Hutchinson, They're bookending on the defensive line. They've had some serious issues in the back end defensively. That's a vulnerable unit. I still believe in that secondary, and they are beatable in that capacity. But offensively, they're just a juggernaut with that 1-2 punch on the ground of Mandatory Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They do a lot of dirty work underneath. Sam LaPorta had a subpar season, and they're still making plays. Jared Goff has been brilliant. They get Jameson Williams back off suspension this week. I think it's going to be all systems go, and they're going to come out with guns a-blazing against H-Town. So I will lay the chalk with the Lions, and I kind of like the over in the game overall. I think it's going to be a high-scoring battle from beginning to end.
No, I'm right there with you. The over set of 49, the Lions 3.5-point favorites. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Texans right now. Maybe that was just a trap game, like I said. And they beat them up bad. And Lions beats up everybody bad. Whether, Goff has 83 yards or not, they're just dumping on people. But you did mention the Ravens and the Lions and in your Super Bowl picks, two teams that are going to stand in their way play this Sunday, Steelers-Commanders. What are you thinking about that game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wonderful showdown between a couple of squads. And Russell Wilson's really impressed me. Look, I was highly doubtful of him, being inserted there under center over Justin Fields, who, played pretty damn well when he was at the controls, a winning record overall. He was top 10 adjusted completion percentage before getting the rug pulled out from underneath him. But Russell Wilson's been more than adequate. He's been, subpar in terms of his accuracy, but that moon ball, when he got a guy who can bend and contort the body like George Pickens, they can make beautiful music on the field. We've seen that. They add Mike Williams out of the mix with that trade with the Jets, get another guy that can really be a field stretcher. We'll see how much he's got left in the tank. But really the unsung hero of this team has been Najee Harris. The Alabama Slammer has been marvelous on the ground, and Jalen Warren's back and healthy, and has been more than suitable as a change of pace running back. I think that 1-2 punch combined with Wilson, it adds that offensive balance, and we know the defense can really get after the quarterback. I do like Washington, though, in that game. They're a team on a mission right now. Jane Daniels has been utterly amazing. Surefire lock to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And dare I say it, guys, I think the Commanders are going to take the NFC East division. They're plus 110 right now at BetMGM to do so. And I think they're going to undercut the Eagles in the end.
Brad, Saints-Falcons, and this has always been sort of a weird game. Stuff happens that you couldn't predict. I mean, look, the first game. The Falcons don't score one offensive touchdown against the Saints. And they somehow win the game. You had a muff punt for a score, then a pick six. Now with the coaching change, with Darren Rizzi now the new head coach of the Saints for the remainder of the year, I watched the Falcons, and they're a really good running team, and when they can protect Kirk Cousins, man, he can carve you up. But I don't know from a defensive standpoint how good they are. They have a player here and there, especially up the middle with Grady Jarrett and Onyemata and A.J. Terrell in the backfield, but at defensive back. I'm not sure about how good they are on defense. So I think they win and try to tsunami you. They score as many points as they can, and they sort of hold on defense.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment, quite frankly. Defense is inadequate. I will say that, with the supreme confidence behind that description, a team that's only number 20 right now in EP per play defense, so the back end defensively too, you can really carve them up. And I think the slicing and dicing is going to be front and center, potentially in that game for Derek Carr. And, Alvin Kamara is a guy that can really get the job done. Taysom Hill, being a jack of all trades, whether it's a receiver or a runner, presents some problems. And I think this game is going to be a sneaky good shootout. I really truly believe that. I think Atlanta is, in an advantageous position. Marshon Lattimore now with the Commanders, obviously. That enormous story that went down, area of need and an upgrade, massive one for Washington in that secondary. And, I worry about Lonte Taylor there outside having maybe contain Darnell Mooney in this game. We'll see if Drake London can play. He's day-to-day with that hip pointer. But, Atlanta's got weapons galore. Bijan Robinson doing some business on the ground. Tyler Allgeier being a power complement as well in that 1-2 punch and that rushing attack. So, yeah, defense I think is going to be optional for both teams in this game. And you're right. Every single time they get together, it's what, first to 30, 35 wins. I think it's going to be the case yet again.
Man, a prop bet Tyler Allgeier has been a pain in the butt to the Saints every time he plays them. Man, that little dude, he comes after you. He's not super fast. He's not quick. He's not the most powerful guy. But he's a little bit of a combination of the three. And I don't know if it's style or what. They have had a lot of difficulties stopping Tyler Allgeier. So you might want to look at that as a prop, Brad. I'm just telling you, giving you a little hint right there.
Yeah, over under right now, BetMGM, 38.5. I'm with you. I would love to take the over on Tyler Allgeier on that particular prop, a guy that's top 10 in the NFL this season in yards after contact per attempt. All he does is play bully ball.
That's correct. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we always love to have you on, and we love to hear your insider comments. Thanks so much, bud.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Good luck this weekend.
All right. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We'll be back with Triple Option right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here, Mike Dettelier along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. For my Triple Option, we're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. I'll take Rob in Tarrytown. Rob, you my Triple Option. Give me the question, babe.
Question and a comment.
Okay.
Mike, how y'all doing this evening?
Great. Thank you, Rob.
The caller earlier, I think his name was Quinn. He mentioned the three Glenn. Linebackers. Alexander Vonnie, Zach Vaughn, and
Caden Ellis.
Who drafted those three linebackers?
The Saints did.
I know. Under Sean Payton or under Dennis Allen?
Oh, no. All under Sean. All under Coach Payton.
All under Sean. And it appears everything that Dennis Allen did once he got the position, he tried to put his own thumbprint on the team. And he let some players go that shouldn't have been let go, in a lot of fans' opinions. Now, Alexander Lonnie had injury issues.
Yes, he did.
Marshawn Lattimore had injury issues.
Yes, he did.
Okay, my point is, he tried to put too much of a thumbprint on the team, letting everybody know that it was his team. It wasn't Sean Payton's draft picks anymore. And I think
Anzalone left before Dennis took over, though.
Yeah, Alex, I think, left the same year that Coach Allen took over, if my memory's right on that. And then Zach Vaughn, he was here
right
with Dennis Allen in that deal, and so was Caden Ellis. My thing is, sometimes it was baffling how they were used. But, Rob, it's certainly something to think about, what you bring up. You know, everybody wants to put their own stamp on a defense. And, you know, with Anzalone, that I could understand. Because, man, I went back and doing the draft stuff with him. He was hurt in high school. He was hurt a lot at Florida. He was hurt a lot with the Saints. He goes to Detroit, and he's healthy. You don't see that happen a lot. He was a good football player here. He really was. Just couldn't keep him healthy. And I thought the fit was bad with Zach. They moved him all over. And with Caden Ellis, I knew once he got those sacks late in that final year, man, he was going to cash out. So, great comments, Rob. We appreciate it. Steve?
Guys, I'm going to be looking at the Cleveland Browns organization, a big mess over there. And general manager Andrew Berry just recently was noncommittal when he was asked about Deshaun Watson standing with the franchise as the quarterback continues to struggle before he sustained that season-ending Achilles tendon tear in Week 7. Before the injury, Watson posted the lowest total QBR of any qualified passer in the NFL. The Browns were 1-5 in Watson's 6 starts before the injury, and he didn't reach 20 points in any of those games. Since trading for him, the Browns' 3 first-round picks and giving Watson a fully guaranteed $230 million contract, he started 19 games with each of them, the last of the 2 seasons, and both have ended in injuries. Since making his debut in Cleveland, Watson's got a 33.8 total QBR. That ranks 32 out of 33 in qualifying passers. The only one lower, Carolina's Bryce Young.
Man, I can't remember, Steve, another guy that's fallen from grace as a football player.
Right.
Now, again, the off-the-field issues are another thing. But you talk about talent. Everybody told you the same thing.
He looked top tier in Houston.
He looked like one of the best. And he carried the Texans on his back, so to speak, team-wise. And then to fall like he did. Now, was the off-the-field stuff part of it? Was injuries part of it? Combination?
Right.
But, man, you got to go back. I remember Dwayne Thomas with the Cowboys. He was a great back for them. But, you know, he had – and he admitted he had drug issues. And he fell off the cliff. And they tried to trade him to the Chargers, and he didn't do nothing there. He ended up with the then Washington Redskins. But, man, you talk about a slide down. Very few guys at that level. When you can't pinpoint it exactly on injuries. Cullen?
I'm going to keep it with the NFL. The Chiefs, after their Monday night performance, I was looking at something that I saw that came across my X feed from Bill Barnwell over at ESPN. The Chiefs' passing EPA per down ranks. First, they are 22nd in the league. On second down, they are 19th. And then on third down, they are first. And the difference between the second best team in EPA per passing on third down, the difference between the first and that team is larger than the difference between the second place team and the 11th place team. They have such a lead. It just goes to show Mahomes is undisputed one of the best all times on third down.
Man.
And you saw that throw he had to Hopkins? That's it.
That dude, I don't want him with the ball in his hands at the end of a game.
The third and anything.
You saw Baker Mayfield knew. It was like, won the coin flip, and I was like, oh,
okay,
man.
Baker's reaction was my reaction.
Right.
What?
It's over.
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
I want to say a stat I saw also is like the last like seven times Mahomes has been in an overtime game, six of them he's won the coin toss, and the one he didn't was last year's Super Bowl, which they won anyway.
Wow.
Man. Keep a good look on that. You're not going to see a lot of guys play football at that level. I mean, you know, he is a man a cut above, and he's. I've made this comment. He reminds me of Pete Maravich with a bat, with a football. You know, man, Pete could do all kind of stuff with a basketball that was way before his time. But that's what Mahomes reminds me of. That he is the football version of Maravich. Now, Pete didn't win anything. Patrick's winning everything. And, man, what a combination. Him along with Andy Reid. You couldn't ask for a nicer dude. Man, Andy's one of the great guys in this business. Steve, I'm sorry that your team let him loose. But
They kicked him to the curb.
We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. Steve, you got Ali Cosell coming on at 6:10 and right before the Pelicans game.
Yeah, going to gun out a little bit of inside info. What's going on with this team? I know some guys were warming up. We'll see who's good to go and who's not ready to play against a tough Cavs team. Unbeaten 8-0 this season, so come on, Pellies.
Man, are they good. Cleveland's really, really good. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.